The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, International Bible teacher Beth Moore tells us how to handle our own sense of entitlement.
Listen, I'm never more distressed than when I don't have an answer to give to God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I like to tell Him, now here's what you need to do, clearly. I mean, when I make a request, I like to tell Him what answer.
We can win back dignity with some humility. Next on Life Today.
So much. It is a joy to come into your home or wherever you're watching. I'm James Robinson. Betty, my wife, and I are thrilled to share Wednesdays with Beth with you. Beth Moore is continuing a series that is titled From Cast Down to Ecstatic Joy. I love that because so often we've been cast down, downtrodden, thrown down. We've got circumstances, crisis, oftentimes consequences and things that come our way we don't understand. Heartbreaking tragedy. What do? We can find joy. Here's Beth to help us know how.
Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Remember, we're doing our own ancestry search for the sons of Korah. When they would have looked back, if they had had access to the web and they'd gone looking back into their heritage, this is what they would have found. They would have gone to number 16 first, but along the way, they would have found themselves in 2 Chronicles 20. So go with me there. 2 Chronicles 20. We're going to see them show up on the page again. Now, let me give you a little bit of history of what's happening here, because this is a very powerful moment in the life of the children of Israel. And so Jehoshaphat is the king over Judah at the time, and they have had a tremendous titanic enemy start toward them, and they are outnumbered like a cup of sand to a seashore. I mean, they are just like completely overwrought with threats. And there's been the threat of the king of the Moabites and the Ammonites, and they've told them that they're going to show them how powerful their God is by flat out annihilating them. And I'm just paraphrasing what's happening here. And so Jehoshaphat, I mean, he's just like scared out of his mind. In verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20, it says, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout Judah." Now he prays this most powerful prayer, and he brings the promises of God back to God and says, "This is what you said over our nation." And he says this, come down to about verse 12, where it says, "Oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We don't know what to do. Somebody today, you're just going like, I have no idea what to do. I've been in situations and crises in my own life where it was not multiple choice time. I mean, I don't know what to do. I can't even come up. Listen, I'm never more distressed than when I don't have an answer to give to God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I like to tell Him, now here's what you need to do, clearly. I mean, when I make a request, I like to tell Him what answer. And so, Father, I'm asking you. But sometimes it's just like, remember Mary in John chapter 2? She just went and said to Jesus, "There is no more wine." I mean, she didn't say anything you need to do, but like, deal with it. That's the problem. Deal with it. There is no more wine. I never do that with God. I go to God and go, there is no more whatever. And then I go, here's what I think you should do. When I don't know what to do, I'm just like beside myself. And this is them. We have no idea what to do. But our eyes are on you. So, okay. So the prophet comes and speaks over them and tells them, I'm in verse 17 now, you're going to need to just stand firm. You hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them and the Lord will be with you. Now, watch what happens. And somebody's going like, okay, but not what about Korah? They're coming. They're coming. Hang on here. Verse 18. So the prophets brought the word of God. He's already said to God, listen, we have no idea what to do. Our eyes are on you. They get a word. Now, and there certainly are prophets today. But what we always have, listen to me, because you might be going, well, I need somebody to come and tell me something. We got the word. Girl, this is what we got. God, this is what we got right here. So when I need a word, this is how the words of the prophets are spoken over me. I get into the scriptures. And so we have something they didn't have ready in their hands right by their nightstand like we do. And so it says then, Jehoshaphat, so he's beside himself. He's got a word from the Lord. It's going to be all right. Hold your position. Watch the salvation of the Lord. It says in verse 18, watch this. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. I love this man because he sets his face to seek the Lord. He bows his head with his face to the ground, and then all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they all fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So I'm a very visual learner, and I think many of you are too. So will you picture this? So they get the word of the prophet, Jehoshaphat the king, the example before the people. He goes all the way to the floor, face down, just worships the Lord there. Well, while this is happening and worship is going on, this most marvelous thing happens in verse 19. So all the people are face down, and the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites, here's our guys, the Korahites, the Kohathites and the Korahites are themselves intertwined in their ancestry. The Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. I just love that because the people are all down and it's like they look at one another going like, okay, for such a time as this, this is what we do. We've been called to lead worship. And so they get up on their feet and they begin to worship the Lord with what they call a very loud voice. Now go with me on from 20. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Listen, does somebody need to hear that word today? You want a word of the prophets right here? Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. Guess who that's going to be? That's right here, right along. It's these Korahites that we've just seen leading in that loud voice of praise. He gets those who are appointed to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and they say, give thanks to the Lord. For his steadfast love endures forever. And it says, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and so they were routed. Now, get this with me. I mean, they did not fight this battle with their swords. Like, picture this. Picture all the army together. They're about to go out because they're to stand before the Lord. They're to stand in their positions. That's what they've been told. So they're marching out onto the battlefield, but they're sending people out in front of them that do not even have a weapon. Not club one, not sword one. All they've got is their praise. And they go marching out and at the very sound of the praise, the enemy gets routed. And it says that they begin to turn on one another. At the very sound of, without a single sword drawn, boom! I mean, it just all begins to happen at the very sound of praise. Girlfriend and godfriend, this is the Korahites. I mean, like something happened. Amen? Something happened here. Because how is it our guys that had such entitlement, who were going like, we can do anything you can do. And we want your job, Moses and Aaron. How does somebody with that kind of satanic entitlement have descendants that turn in to warriors that bring victory through their praise. I got to show you something because I love this. Remember when we said earlier, among men, every great name can be shamed? Okay, I want to answer back to that. Another line right with it. Write this down. With God, humility and time claim back a line. Humility and time claim back a line. This is when God's in the picture. And somebody say it back to me. Humility and time
claim back a line.
Claim back a line. That over time and with enough humility, look what God did with a people that had been known, I mean, had such renown of such sinfulness before God that most of their people were swallowed up by the earth. And I thought it was so interesting to me because, you know, what they could have done, because this kind of thing was prayed in the Psalms, it looks like to me that the Korahites could have just gone, the sons of Korah, could have just gone, you know what, Lord, just give us daughters and blot out our name from under the sun. Amen? Like just, but they did the harder thing. Win it back.
That's right.
Win it back. Win back some dignity through some real live humility. It always goes the opposite way that the world thinks. The world would never think that the way to get back your dignity is through humility. But you and I know that to be a biblical fact, that when we humble ourselves before the Lord, He will exalt us in due time. I need somebody to say amen right now. I mean right now. Listen now, beforehand, so we're making a comparison between what the Korahites were like originally in Numbers 16 and what they're like when they show up on the page of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I mean, like, what in the world has happened here? Notice that before these men of renown back in Numbers 16, the Korahites had reminded the assembly who they were. This is who we are. And we've been forbidden this, and yet this is who we are. Well, after you got this group right here, afterwards, these guys are giving themselves over to reminding the assembly who God is. We want people to know who we are, or do we want them to know who our God is? You know what's so crazy? Back in Numbers 16, check it out if you weren't with us in that part of our series. It says Moses told them, he said, Was it too small a thing that you were chosen to go near to God? I mean, honestly, was that too small a thing? You were invited to come near to God. What is wrong with you? And it says, do you also remember, because I just love this, if you were part of our last series when we studied Psalm 42 and 43 together, it said, why so downcast, O my soul? And now the sons of Korah wrote these words under the inspiration. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. Well, yeah, I'd say you did. I'd say you did. While everybody was laid out, I'd say you came to your feet and in a very loud voice, you brought your God praise. And it brought such exhilaration to the people of God that the king came to them and said, you know what you did today? I want you to do that on the battlefield. That's what I want. I want you to go out before us. I want you to draw the sword of your praise out there today. Now, it's so important that you see what they sang. Do you see that refrain? It's very familiar to us today because for many of us in our churches or in our Christian gatherings, we sing a song that repeats these words very similar. Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. Because we're talking about how do you claim it back? How do you claim it back? Well, you got to know, I mean, if any of you have shame in your background, anybody? I come from a lot of shame. And something shameful happened in my family back in the day, in my family of origin. And at the time, we were living in a small town. And I really would like to remind you, if you're ever going to blow it, don't do it in a small town. You understand what I'm saying? Really, honestly, move to the city if you need to continue in some kind of where it would be controversial sin. I mean, move out of the small town because this does not go well in a small place. It does not. And so I know what it's like to have your name shamed. But here, what the Korahites are reminding us is give thanks to God. I mean, if you want to come back, go from cast down back to your study. If you want to come back, thank God. I mean, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Thank Him for everything you can think of. Thank Him every single time you have a moment's despair. You begin to thank Him. My God, who has done all of this, is not going to drop me now. But the other part I just love, His love endures forever. You know what the Korahites were telling themselves? I got to look somebody in the eye. Because the Korahites were saying, He still loves us. As foolish as we were. As foolish as we were, our God still loves us. He never stopped. We still belong to our God. We thank you, God. We thank you because your steadfast love endures. And no matter what has happened in my line, I have not destroyed your love for me. Somebody better get excited with me today. I'm just gonna wait. I mean, listen, it doesn't get better than that. It does not get any better than that. So, like, what on earth happened to them? I'm going to tell you what happened to them. Would you write down Psalm 84:10? Somewhere in your notes, write down Psalm 84:10, because this is what I think happened. You remember when they said this, if you're familiar with Psalm 84, about the dwelling place of the Lord, and it says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's what happened to them. These people who had come from such entitlement that they could not get a job big enough for them, their descendants went, you know what? I'll keep the door. I'll stand at the door. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give out the bulletin at church. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Would you let me take an umbrella and would you let me walk out in the parking lot and walk some people in? Because I want to do that. I want to do that. There's a really big church back in Houston that has a whole lot of people in it that have been delivered from some really ugly stuff. And they're so in love with Jesus, they don't know what to do. And some of my family went and attended that church just here recently just to see a praise gathering that was going on there. And they said that when my daughter went into the ladies' room, she said that the people that were working in the restroom cleaning up the toilets had such joy of the Lord on them that they could not, it just, they felt, everybody else felt just shamed by it. Because when we know, I'm loved, I'm forgiven, I'm graced. I'll do anything. I'll do as long as it matters to you greatly what you get to do for God, it's gonna hold off and hold off and hold off. He wants people that are gonna say, you know what, I'll do anything. I'll hold the door while people come in. I'll help them over the mud. I'll clean off their shoes if they're muddy. And that's when things start happening. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, I know Beth means that. I know that's how Jesus feels. You know, Johnny Moore is talking about dirty God. He's the wonderful minister of outreach to all of the young people at Liberty University. And he was talking about how Jesus gets in the trenches, and we need to get in the trenches. And, you know, that's one of the things that I have really come to appreciate about our viewers. Betty, they have watched us, our staff, our mission team, get down and dirty, so to speak, wherever the need is, to meet people right where they are, to lead them where God wants to take them. And we lead them by the example of love. And I don't know that there's anything we'll ever do that expresses the love of God any more clearly and purely than to give people water for life. They are then anxious to hear about the water of life. I want you to look in, see the need, recognize the opportunity, as well as the responsibility and the privilege of lifting a load, brightening someone's day, changing forever their life. You watch this, please.
70% of the Earth's surface is covered with water. But only 1% is safe to drink. Nearly 1 billion people do not even have access to clean water. Every 20 seconds, a child will die from a waterborne illness.
Tim knows the harsh reality of the statistic and is still grieving at the loss of one of her granddaughters. Tim returns almost daily to the same source that took the life of her granddaughter because she has no other choice of where to get her water. Estimates are that over 4,000 children will die today from a waterborne disease. We can help grandmothers like Tim and thousands of others to never have to see another child die from drinking contaminated water by providing them a gift of life, the gift of clean water.
As I watch that, I can relate in the grandmother's heart because we always want the best done for our grandchildren. We love our grandchildren, and this grandmother is desperate. She knows. She's seen death already in her family. She knows the grandchildren she has now are drinking the same water that killed others and many other children. But what is she to do? They have to have water to drink. And I know that if you've ever participated with us in drilling the wells, your heart is here. We get letters and correspondence from friends that have helped with the water wells, and they say, this is our favorite challenge because we know people have to have water to live. So please join with us. Don't hesitate this time either. We need to drill some more wells. Please join with us in this. I know that your heart will be overflowed with joy as you do it.
You know, Betty, we've taken the biggest challenge we've ever had, and that challenge is to drill 500 wells, and they're $4,800 apiece. Betty and I have committed to drill a well, and we know many couples and individuals, and yes, even children, who begin working very hard in special projects or whatever they have to do to raise the funds to drill an entire well. There are even some church groups and school groups that do it, and we thank God for that. But I've actually challenged all of our viewers, even beginning earlier this year, ask God to enable you to drill a well, because I would love us to not only meet the goal of 500, I'd love to see us go beyond that because of a miracle outpouring of love. Even in challenging times here at home in the U.S., in Canada, all around the world, Australia, wherever you may be watching, there are challenging times, but these people are so challenged for just a cup of water, drinking water that's clean. We're not giving them a lot of luxuries. We're giving them a chance at life. And like that little grandmother, that their children and grandchildren can live and be healthy. We found the villages and the areas that the missionaries have targeted where the need is so real and the water is accessible. So we need your help, one well at a time. Could you drill a well? Would you call the number that you see there on the screen, take your bank card or write a check and say, I'm doing that? Or go online, lifetoday.org. Or could you drill a part of a well, 1,200 or 2,400, and pray for three others to join or another person to match what you do? Ask God to do that. But the majority of the wells and the support for them is going to come from people who say, James, I couldn't drill a well. I'm praying. Someday maybe I can or I can find a way. But I can do something. $48. $48 will give 10 people water basically the rest of their life. That single gift keeps giving. $144. Some people can do that. 30 people water the rest of their life. We have some very special gifts that we want to send you. We want you to know the names of God and what they mean. You're going to love the book Majesty. You're going to treasure it and you're going to grow. The beautiful witness pens that we have with the names of God and the fruit of the Spirit on them will open doors for you. The commemorative bronze, 50th anniversary version to say thank you if you can drill a well or give $1,200 toward it. We want to bless you, but when you make that call or you go online and you make that gift, you are giving people a chance at life. And we're going to tell them about the water of life. Thank you for making that gift.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Majesty, an inspirational new fully illustrated book that will help you discover the promises behind the many names of God. With your gift of $100 or more, be sure to also request the Names of God pen set, custom crafted with the various names of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I absolutely love this. Majesty. Promises revealed in the names of God. On the back cover it says, in Majesty, you will discover the meaning behind God's names and enjoy the incredible beauty of His creation in full color photographs. The names of God reveal much about His person and character, and it is His Word that reveals God and His names. You're going to love and treasure this book. The beautiful names of God pens, the fruit of the Spirit pens, you're going to find them something that you're going to be able to literally open a conversation with people because they're going to comment on them. They're going to ask you about them. We found that to be so true years ago when we gave away some pens. As a matter of fact, it was viewers and friends who said, can you offer some more? You have no idea how many people we were able to witness to. This is our way of saying thank you for helping us share water with a world filled with thirst. Thank you so much.
James and Betty Robison, July 18th through the 20th for the Awaken Now Conference at Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, featuring inspiring speakers such as author and neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson, international Bible teacher and author Beth Moore, Pastor Robert Morris, author and speaker Christine King, and many more, including musical guests such as Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Register today for this once-in-a-lifetime event celebrating 50 years of ministry with James and Betty Robison. Go to lifetoday.org.
This generation must reconcile righteousness with justice. We have to lift our hands up in worship, and we have to stretch our hands out in compassion.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.